a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Trax Power Sports Rentals. 2 hours of stories and information about hunting, fishing, and high adventure. It's KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors. I'm Joe Davis. I'm filling in for Tim Hughes, but you know, Tim is kind enough before he goes out of town to, you know, to get into some important topics and get some good interviews. And one that could not be much more important. I can't think of things that are too much more important than this, the quagga mussel problem.
Right.
And so he talks with Scott Dale about that and the contamination issues that are out there. So we're going to get right to it. All right. Here's Tim.
One of these years, we'd like to be able to pass along information that we are quagga mussel free in the state of Utah, but realistically, that may never happen. And so we continue to try and help boat owners understand the real challenges here and the responsibility that they have on their shoulders to make sure that this infestation does not transfer anywhere else than the waters we already are aware of. And one of those places happens to be Lake Powell. Scott Dalebout joins us here. Scott, remind me of your title there at the division.
Yes, I'm a statewide operations lieutenant. I'm coordinating our AIS interdiction efforts throughout the state.
Pretty big job these days, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It keeps getting busier all the time.
Which is unfortunate, because when you say it gets busier for you, that's bad news for the state of Utah, is it not?
Well, it can be. As long as we can keep those little mussels at Lake Powell, then we are succeeding. And so far, that has happened. So there is good news. So
Lake Powell is the only place we found them so far, right?
That's correct.
We had some scares. I know we had at Deer Creek Reservoir a couple of years ago, but it turned out to be a dead, what do you call them, villager?
Yes, we had one positive sampling effort there, which was villagers, which is the microscopic larvae of the mussels. But subsequent testing showed that they never reproduced, which is great.
Yeah. All right, so let's concentrate on Lake Powell. That makes it easier for our conversation. And as big of a nightmare as it is for any boat owner that has had their boat, big or small, at Lake Powell, but is able to pull it out and drag it home with them, it seems like it's an even bigger nightmare for folks that have houseboats that aren't so easily removed from the waters.
That's correct. They're huge, they're cumbersome, and they have a lot of surface area for these little mussels to attach to.
Well, and just getting them out of the water for decontamination, I would imagine, is an expensive process.
It can be. If they're planning on removing the watercraft anyway, they can just plan ahead and make arrangements to have it decontaminated and just plan for an extra few days.
Yeah. Does a good winter mean that it becomes easier or harder for the efforts to keep the mussels at bay down there, or is there such a thing as keeping them at bay?
Well, a good winter will help. The mussels will not be congregated in such small areas, so that makes it easier. However, they're still reproducing, and that's just going to continue to happen.
Yeah. Walk me through the process. We've talked about this and tried to educate our listening audience, and that's for any boat, not just houseboats, but tried to educate our audience on how you decontaminate, and then you must allow for a 30-day drying period before you launch it at any other Utah lake. And we know that's a bit of a pain when we have a short boating season in Utah, But hopefully sure. people are, you know, listening and paying attention and taking responsibility not to do that. Walk me through the process. Let's start with the smaller boats, people that go down to Lake Powell, maybe spend a week with their family, and that might be their only trip of the season. Then they, yes. if they're doing the right thing, need to make sure they dry that boat for 30 days.
Well, we have different drying times throughout the year. The smaller boats, they can take them out of the lake. They'll be inspected by our professionals. If there's no mussels found, they'll put a seal on it, and then they have a dry time in the summer. It's only just about a week in the summer.
Oh, good.
If mussels are found, there's places to get it decontaminated, and then they're good to go. However, if it's a smaller boat, like those large wakeboard boats that have huge ballast tanks that we can't get into, or we can't drain all the water out, those can be up to a 30-day just because it's unverifiable water. The smaller boats without ballast tanks, not so much.
Yeah. Can the insides of those ballast tanks be dried within 30 days?
They can be. It just takes a little extra effort. If we can get the hot water and fill up the ballast tanks completely with the hot water and get them out, then we know everything's dead. But some of those are hundreds of gallons of water, and we just don't have the capacity. Some of our professional private businesses do have that capability, but it's very few and far between. We are working on a contract with folks around the state to get some private decontaminators licensed, and they can help us take care of this problem.
You talk about the ballast tanks. That's for folks that like to recreate on the water in the form of wakeboarding or water skiing. But for fishermen, sometimes just getting the live well cleaned out is sort of off the radar of people, too.
Oh, sure. And we check that very carefully. Anytime you have an anchor rope, anchors in those storage areas or the live wells, we have to be absolutely sure we get those cleaned out and drained and dried as well.
And this is now happening at Lake Powell as you get ready to launch your boat and as you pull your boat out, correct?
We just talk to folks as they're going in. The National Park Service takes that on. It's the boats coming out that the state of Utah and some of our NPS partners and some of our Arizona partners downlake are helping with as well.
We've talked to you before, and I think the good news here is that most of the time, and I'm hoping it's in the high 99.9 percentile, most of the time boat owners are very understanding of the challenges, and look, it's a big responsibility that's on their shoulders if they're going to go play down there.
That's correct. Most of our boat owners are just wonderful to work with. We understand that it's frustrating. You've been on the lake, it's hot, and you're tired. But most of the folks have been just wonderful to work with, and that makes it so much easier for our folks because they're standing on boat ramps for hours every day, and they're tired and sore. And so it makes that communication so much better for everybody.
Yeah, and, you know, we were going to focus more on the houseboats today, but even on those smaller boats, if you don't find and have it decontaminated each time you go in there, these little guys, speaking of the quagga mussels, can clog that water intake system, and you can blow a motor, a pump, or just about anything else on the boat.
Oh, absolutely. It's a serious fire danger for these boats. It'll clog up that water intakes, and you're running your pumps, some of the larger boats with air conditioning units, just whatever, all of the water intake systems, it could clog that, and we have had a couple fires in the past couple of years. So it's very dangerous, or can be very dangerous.
What's the process now for those that may have shared ownership in a houseboat? I would imagine the folks that manage that are hopefully taking the responsibility and maybe sharing the cost among those that share ownership and getting that done on an annual basis, or do we know?
It's some yes and some no. Some just stay on the lake. I would strongly suggest taking that off the lake at least once a year to get it cleaned. And, yeah, there is some shared responsibility there. The problem is when folks sell a boat, a large houseboat or a huge cabin cruiser, and they sell it and it goes to somewhere else in Utah or across the West, it's very difficult if they just plan on just pulling the boat out and then just getting rid of it, because that can't happen. We have to plan an extra week or two to get that decontaminated when they are going to sell it, so we don't have mussels on it and transporting those mussels across the West and into Canada as well.
For a boat that size, is it happening right there at the lake, or do they get taken over to Page somewhere, or how does it take place?
At the moment, we have two places down there. They're both in the Page area, which is just a short drive over. So that's what we're having to do. We're trying to get more private businesses to participate. The contract's out right now, trying to get folks to participate. And also in another month, we're going to release a contract again, hopefully get more people to help out. Just it takes the pressure off the folks that we have washing boats right now.
You know, I use the term eradicate or control these quaggas, but we're really at Mother Nature's, what's the word? We're at Mother Nature's mercy, I guess, here.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's exactly correct. I don't think we'll ever be able to eradicate them out of Lake Powell, but if we can just keep them out as long as possible from the rest of the state, we're saving taxpayers millions and millions of dollars every single year for infrastructure repair and cleaning. And that's our water sources up in the rest of the state.
And not to mention the health of the water system in the area for fisheries, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There was another point to this that I didn't really think about, but even if you're not a boat owner, I guess you need to be careful down there on some of the beaches, or has it gotten that bad yet, because these dead mussels can also be nasty on bare feet?
Yeah, in certain places where the water is really low right now on the sandy beaches, some of the mussels are washing up on shore, and they dry out, and then the shells break, and they're very sharp, it's like glass, so you have to be very careful. Where proper footwear, you know, flip-flops or whatever kind of water shoe to help protect your feet.
Yeah.
It's not super bad right now, but it could be.
I'm also thinking in a 100-plus degree temperature, much like the brine shrimp on the Great Salt Lake, it probably doesn't smell too good.
Oh, no. No, it smells like rotting fish in some areas. We're not quite to that point, but it can be in some areas. But, yeah, it's bad.
Well, from time to time, we just want to talk about it and make sure that our boat owners out there and people who like to go out on the water, maybe even just with a rental. And I'm wondering, too, if those that rent boats also have to take a shared responsibility here and know where their boats are going when they rent them out and doing the proper contamination or decontamination when it comes back.
Well, absolutely. And we're working with rental companies throughout the state to try to help educate them as well as the folks that are renting the boats. We're continually working at that.
Yeah.
So you're right.
All right, Scott. Scott Dalebout is the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources statewide operations lieutenant, trying to do the best he can with his budgets and his team to keep these quagga from spreading out of Lake Powell to other waters in the state of Utah, and we rely on your help to do that. If you want more information, you can go to the division website, wildlife.utah.gov. Is there a better place for it, for them to get direct information?
You can look on our website. You can call our office, and they'll put you in touch with our professionals. Most of our information is online, though. That's a great resource.
Yeah. Real quick, as we wrap up here, I want to mention the name of those folks that are helping you in the Page area, just in case we have listeners right now that want to contact them. One is called Mussel Busters, and the other is Antelope Point Marina Dry Storage there. And I've worked with the folks at Antelope Point in the past. They're great people.
Oh, yes, absolutely. They're just great to work with. Just give them some time because they are swamped right now. Plan ahead. We tell everybody, plan ahead.
Yeah. All right, Scott, thanks for your time today.
Oh, thank you so much for your help.
We're going to get back to KSL Outdoors Radio. I'll turn it back over to Russ and Joe in just a minute. Don't go away.
All right, just a couple minutes here before we get to news, traffic, and weather on KSL. Yeah. And we continue outdoors for a few minutes. And we've had an amazing conversation in here.
We should have recorded our
We should have recorded these.
Break.
Yes. We've talked about this before. The breaks are the best.
Yeah.
Today is the absolute thesis of that with Cordell Anderson here, because the stories are fascinating. I've been sitting here with my mouth agape listening to you guys talk about, you know, people who've gone missing over the years and how they died on the mountain and, you know, why they, you know, what they did wrong and what they should have done. And these are things that I've talked about so many times. And I want to ask Cordell, You know, my big thing that I've told people over the years is the very minimum thing you absolutely have to have with you when you go anywhere. Really, you should have it in your car just in case you break down somewhere in the mountains, is that you should always have a space blanket. That, to me, seems like the most important, probably the most important piece of material, because you can use it to, you know, as a shelter. You can use it to gather water. You can use it to retain heat. There's so many things that that one does. But I hadn't thought about this, but maybe the next most important thing, or maybe even more important than that, is?
I would say number one, the
we got to get your mic on. Sorry. We'll get you turned back on. Sorry, you were saying?
Okay, am I?
Not yet. I'm not sure what's going on with his mic. We'll figure that out here.
Now
I got you. Okay, you're good.
Okay.
Yeah, you were saying?
I would say, first of all, it's the clothes that you've got on.
Is that right?
You've got to be have warm clothes for you in it, because it can turn cold real quick.
Yeah.
And you've got to have rain gear.
Yeah.
Of course, before you go, you've got to leave word with family and friends exactly where you're going.
Yeah.
And you, of course, you've got to have a map. You yourself have got to know the country you're going into, have a map, probably a compass. And these are little tiny things that you can stick in your pocket.
Right.
But in your pocket, you should always, just even on a day hike, have a fire-making kit.
Yeah.
So you've got to dress warmly, have rain gear, have a fire-making kit in your pocket, and my own experience tells me you've got to also have in your pocket a headlamp.
If you
get in trouble and it all of a sudden turns dark, you've got to have a headlamp. So that's one thing I always have. But in this fire-making kit, the matches you have should be what they have nowadays called stormproof matches.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And I add to that a little bottle that I mix of, I take fire paste, which you could get in a tube.
Right.
But I squirt it in a little squeeze bottle, and I add to it diesel or kerosene to liquefy it. So it's kind of like a
napalm.
sort of a liquidy like substance that you just squirt onto the twigs. And it will burn long enough to dry those twigs and get a fire going. And I also have a little bit of the sap from the pine
right,
tree.
Okay.
What do we call it?
Sap.
Sap, I guess. But, you can find it, oozing out of trees on the trail, and just grab a few pieces and stick it in a little bag, and that will burn long and hot enough to dry out and get a fire going.
Hmm.
And so that's important. Of course, if you're going alone, you should have a something equivalent to a spot tracker, a personal satellite tracker. And there's all different kinds of, as Russ can explain to us. And he rents these, of course. And then if you're alone also, you should have a way of communicating. And some of these new tracking devices also, they're communicators. But, of course, in my case, I've always gone with a satellite phone from Skylight, Skycall satellite.
That first list of things that you mentioned probably would have saved about 75% of the people that lost their lives in the UNS.
Wow.
But this space blanket you mentioned,
super
Joe,
important.
is really important, and it doesn't weigh anything.
It weighs nothing.
You just slip it in your pocket,
Yep, they have little tiny ones.
Yeah,
they look like your wallet.
Yeah.
All right, well, we've got to take a break. We're going to definitely talk a little more about that, surviving outdoors. How about that? On KSL Outdoors. But of course, first, we've got our half-hour break for news, traffic, and weather. You're listening to KSL.